Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. You are listening to Financial Survival, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. We're going to be discussing several things this afternoon. It is April the 8th, Monday, 2013. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us this afternoon. A beautiful day here in central Pennsylvania. Finally, we get into the 70s. A little cloudy throughout the day, but that's okay. Today was flip-flop. No, I don't wear flip-flops when I work, but after work I do. But great, beautiful day here in central Pennsylvania, State College. Happy Valley it is for me today anyway. And it was a happy day in the markets today. Again, prior to open, you had the gold and silver markets both higher, and they open up here at 8:30, and boom, they hit them. You had gold down 9:20 today, 9:20, not so bad. 15.74, not bad after over a $20 move on Friday, and it just seems like Mondays anymore. The prices just seem to be down. You have silver down 10 pennies today at 27.35. Both of them are off their lows of the days. Platinum was down 4 at 15.41, with palladium up 3 at $736. The USDX today, 82.80, still traveling to the upside, 0.23 up today, up points. And crude oil was up a little bit today, 0.76. at 93.46. And the markets today, a hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver today. Didn't have a chance to follow the stock markets today. And I saw they were down earlier, but it looks like they rebounded. You had the Dow adding about 48 points, 14.6. You have the NASDAQ up 18 at 32.22. S&P up 10 at 15.63. The euro broke down again to 129. Oh, it's just shy of 130, though, so no big deal there. And you saw the yield on the 10-year move up slightly, 0.04 at 173, 1.73%. And, of course, good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
And I guess the president's big budget is due Wednesday. What do you?
I can hardly wait.
Can you hardly wait?
I think just as he's already won the award for the Nobel Peace Prize, I think he may be in line to get something in the world of fiction.
Yeah.
Maybe that the fictional writer, the American Fiction Writers Award, is going to be due to Obama in just a couple more days once he publishes the proposed budget. We'll see if it has any bearing on reality or if it includes space aliens or what will be in there.
Well, we know he wants new taxes, and he doesn't want retirement accounts. Yeah, people have too much money. Only us guys can have that much money. You can't have any money. So he's looking to add some, he's looking to propose setting a $3 million limit on individual savings, a balance across the IRAs and other tax-preferred retirement accounts. So, again, more reasons not to be successful. You get taxed. You work a little hard. You make a little money. And, of course, they tax you. They're also looking to a $3 million balance could finance an annuity of $205,000 per year in a retirement. And looking at this type of a proposal could add $9 billion over a decade. Do you think that's going to really help our problems?
$9 billion again. Put the number in perspective. The Federal Reserve is injecting $85 billion per month. That's $20 billion per week. $9 billion over the course of 10 years compares to about 3 days of quantitative easing at current rates. It's a triviality. But it's evidence of a mindset that is dangerous and self-destructive for the American people. And the mindset is that no matter what government wants, it's entitled to have everything it wants. If it needs more money, it's going to get more money. Government is our most important product. That's what we seem to believe in this country, and it's not true. Government is a parasite, and the bigger government grows, the less all of you have. Government is your biggest adversary in this life. No one. You know, they talk about the evil empire of Iraq and North Korea and so on. What have they done? They haven't taken any of my money. I guarantee you the government has taken a bunch, and they want to take more. And they are supposedly protecting us against these foreign influences or who knows what influences. They allege they're here to protect us, but in the end what they're really here to do is extort money from us. And by extortion, the word extortion means taking under the color of law. It's not like robbery. Extortion is not like, theft. Not strictly, it's taking under the color of law. So all they have to do is pass another law and say, well, we get to take your money. We get to take your wealth. We get to take your retirement. And we the people have allowed that to take place because we have some stupid idea that we can't survive without more government. The truth is we can't survive with more government. So people have to get this. You can't just give government everything it wants. I don't get everything I want in this life, and neither do any of you. If you want something, you have to make sacrifices to get it, and the government sits back and says, oh, we want this, and we want this, and we want this, and we never have to make sacrifices. The American people have to make sacrifices to give this spoiled child in Washington, D.C. everything it wants. Tell that spoiled brat to go to the hot place. If they want more for something, they're going to have to take less for something else. They have to leave the American people who actually work for a living with enough to survive. They cannot simply assume that it's okay to take everything they want. So, I don't know. It's infuriating at times. It's a mindset that exists not only in government, but to an extraordinary degree among the American people. It's just, the government wants, well, of course, they get to have everything they want. No, they don't. And it's going to end. It isn't going to survive any more than the Soviet Union survived. They thought they were entitled. Their government was entitled to everything it could see, everything it wanted. And all it did was destroy the government, destroyed the Soviet Union, put people into poverty for a decade. We're going to see something like that when this government collapses. When it's going to happen, who knows? I don't know. But it's going to happen, and it will be the right thing. Best thing that could happen to us is get the government off our backs. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I'll tell you what. For those who smoke, he's looking to add more taxes on cigarettes and other tobacco products. He did this back in 2009 also, that he had signed into law federal tax increasing cigarettes, and those funds went to help to expand the state children's health insurance program.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I think they went to the Congressional Retirement Fund is where I think they went.
It provides health care for 8 million people. Well, you know. So that's that. That's due out on Wednesday. But Bloomberg came out with a great article today, Trust in Gold, Not Bernanke, as U.S. States Promote Bullion. Because of the distrust of the Federal Reserve and the big concern that the U.S. dollars are losing its value and, of course, becoming worthless in the near future, it's pushing more than a dozen states. We talked about various states along the way that are looking to recognize gold and silver coins as legal tender. I guess Arizona is pushing legislation. I'm not sure if it's passed, but they're following Utah. Which they authorized bullion for currency back in 2011. And, of course, you see other bills advancing in Kansas, South Carolina, and a dozen other states. So, you know, the measures are backed by the by the Tea Party. And so, I mean, you still can't pay for groceries with gold in Utah. But
no, we're moving in that direction.
We're moving in that direction. And there is a fear.
Who else is moving in that direction?
The rest of the world.
Russia, South Africa, Australia, a number of foreign countries are simply writing off the dollar. They're trying to get away from it as the world reserve currency. They want to conduct their trade, their international trade, based on direct currency relationships between the two countries without regard to the dollar. And we see it even here within the United States. What does it tell us? Tells us that the dollar it's got one foot on the banana peel and one foot in the grave. That's what it tells us. It's not just foreign countries. Even domestic states are coming up with the same conclusion. And the states are advocating that we go back to something like a gold standard, at least to recognize gold as a form of legal tender, maybe not the only form, but a. And it just tells us we're going back to gold. The movement is afoot, internationally and domestically.
So it is retaking its place as a currency, as real money. Another interesting in the news today, Iron Lady, the Iron Lady, she died. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Ms. Thatcher.
Yep. And you know what's interesting is, you know, she's tied to Reagan. You know, they thought highly of each other. But I came across an article today, and when we talk about legacies, you know, here, you know, she's being held up. And even in some of alternative newsletters and articles, they have promoted her as a proponent of capitalism, and, you know, she's done all these great things for Britain and put Britain back on the map and a champion of free markets and blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. But yet, you can also see the other side, and it's kind of what we're seeing here in this country. You have the mainstream that is, you know, just everything is great and glory and grand, even with Reagan. I mean, how often do we hear that Reagan was the best president ever? But yet, if you understand what he did and so forth, he actually wasn't. You see the same thing coming from comments out of England in regards to Margaret Thatcher. And there's a lot of people, you know, that the corruption that was involved. She sold out her country, the nation's utilities, just so that her companions could get richer. They dismantled entire industries and the communities that relied on these industries. You had the problem in the Falklands. And again, that was for the sole purpose of conning a politically backward electorate and securing for her another term in office. And one article that I was reading, they talk about the poverty, record unemployment, the most draconian and repressive employment legislation anywhere in the developed world, more small businesses going under than at any period prior to her rule. Her defense and friendship with the Chilean mass murdering dictator, Pinochet, and the ruination, you know, she also can add those to the achievements. So it's interesting when we look back on history, Al, and we look at what is reality and how people view things, the truth, how the truth is distorted. Here might be a prime example. A lot of people were hurt. She opened the door for Blair, which opened the door for Brown, who sold all the UK's gold. And it turned the citizens pretty much like we are here in the States. It's like divided. We're conquered. And it's true that the statement in this article says that in Britain and the UK, they are today as what she made, a paranoid, divided, mean-spirited nation full of resentment, envy, greed, and distrust, racist, selfish, inhumane, and tragically too stupid to see we are now nothing but turkeys lining up to vote for Christmas.
Can you think of any president in modern times that really doesn't fit that description?
No.
What do you think is the fundamental reason for that?
Well, because they're, well, I'm not sure what your answer is going to be, but I mean,
well, I'm sure what my answer is going to be. I know what my answer is going
to
be.
You want me to read?
I know what you don't know.
You don't want me to read.
Baron Rothschild.
Yes.
He said, "I don't care who is elected to office." He said, "I don't care who makes the laws," meaning he doesn't care who's elected to office as long as he could control the supply of money. That's what's happened. We have turned from a nation into an economy. Our system of values is based on profit and loss rather than right and wrong. And as an economy, it's all about the money. All about the money. She embraced that. Margaret Thatcher embraced that. And virtually everybody else in Washington, certainly Obama, embraces that. It's all about the money. And they have abandoned any concept of right and wrong. And to my mind, they are following, again, Meyer Ansel Rothschild's observation back in the 1800s, if I recall correctly. I don't care who makes the laws, just so long as I control the supply of money. If he controls the supply of money, he can buy and sell everybody out there. Margaret Thatcher was bought and sold, as were virtually all the rest of the politicians of significant office in this country. It means that you got to get away from circumstances where people like Meyer Rothschild can control the supply of money. You've got to take it out of private hands, which means the Federal Reserve. You've got to get back to where we, the people, control our own supply of money. And one of the ways you do that is you go back to gold and silver. Until we do, we will have politicians who are for sale to the highest bidder. We will watch our nation to continue to deteriorate and decline. And then again, that trend will continue until we begin to realize that this country is not supposed to be an economy per se. That's a secondary concern. First order of business is the nation. First order of business is national values. Those values are based on moral concepts of right and wrong. They are not based on profit and loss. Profit and loss are secondary. First, you do what's right. Then later, if you're fortunate, you derive a profit. But you've got to do that right and wrong before you worry about profit and loss. And here we are. It's all about the money in this society. And as long as that's true, we are going to be divided. We're going to be antagonistic to each other as we each jockey and buck for a better position at the trough where we can get in and get all those free lunches just for me. All about me. Any case, I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We'll take a break for a couple moments. Be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cedarstrom. And program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And now it's time for Melody to announce her special du jour.
Yes, I do. We got a great special going on. We got a couple questions about gold, and today we're offering Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold pieces. And the price is just lower than what the Saint is. Usually the Mint State 62, its sister, the Saint Gaudens, is usually priced a little bit lower. Well, that price has changed. You have the Saint priced higher than the Liberty. So to me, it's a buying opportunity for the $20 Liberty in Mint State 62. This is why I picked this coin today to sell as a special. Not only that, it's only $50 more than what an extra fine circulated $20 gold piece is selling for. In fact, most of my competitors would sell their circulated Liberty gold pieces for more than my Mint State 62. So for those of you who think you're getting a deal on the circulated coins, most likely you're not, when you can buy a Mint State coin for a few dollars more. Our price today is $1,830, and not only that, you will receive a Morgan silver dollar, a pre-1921 Morgan silver dollar. In fact, it is almost uncirculated. An AU, almost uncirculated, pre-21 Morgan silver dollars, along with your Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold piece. The total on that is $1,830. So they can call us at 800-375-4188. And as long as the prices hold, we will try to keep this special for the complete week. Received an email today, and he said he was talking to a dealer, a company. I won't say the name. And this person was trying to explain why the Mint, or why this particular dealer, couldn't deliver his product. And what he said was that his dealer has to pay the Mint up front on a fixed contract basis. But the Mint, gives you no clue when the product will be delivered to the dealer. His dealer is worn out with the practices of the mint. They keep sending them money and get no product or delivery dates. And so they have to borrow money short term to purchase inventory. And that is the reason that he increased his premium. Folks, that is not true. That is a lie. What happens is every Monday, the mint tells their key dealers what they have to sell. The key dealers will tell the mint what they want to buy. The price is then fixed the next day, and the coins are shipped. The coins exist when they are purchased. The problem is the mint can't keep up with the demand. And so there has been a strong demand in buying in both gold and silver, and the silver eagles, and premiums have gone a little bit higher on those. There can be shipping delays on the 1 ounce silver eagles, but this is an example to me, in my mind, of someone who can't deliver, and they're making excuses for their lack of their ability to deliver. So I don't know that's for sure, but why would you give out a complete lie? He has no idea of how the coins are distributed from the mint. And if he does, he's not telling the truth. So I appreciate emails. I like to expose the mistruths and tell you folks the truth. And I just get amazed. And this guy will tell 100 people this story, and 80 of them will believe him. And or maybe even the 100 will believe him. So it's just, it irritates me.
Well, it's one of these things that, on one hand, one of the things that makes these kinds of stories possible, at least to some extent, is the fact that the price is artificially suppressed. As long as the government can hold down the price artificially, we have evidence on the one hand that some people are smart enough to buy. They're buying it by the truckload if they've got a truck, right? And they are perhaps buying more than the mint can produce. But at the same time, the price is being held down. Some of the lies ultimately become feasible precisely because we have the fundamental lie, which is the price of gold. They say, oh, the price of gold's, what, $1,500 and change. It's not true. It's not the true free market price. It's the manipulated market price. It's the paper price of, it's the price of paper gold. That's what's down there. And they're selling, and people are led to believe that the price of physical gold and the price of paper gold are the same. And should be the same, and they're absolutely not. Paper gold does not have the same value as real physical gold. It could never have it. Yet we make that mistake, and it opens the door. Once you accept that first lie, then it opens the door for a bunch of other lies that are devised in part to conceal the contradiction that's going on right now. How is it that demand is up and the price is down? It's contrary to fundamental economic principles that have been here for centuries. And the only way we can explain it is price manipulation. And I'm not necessarily against price manipulation. All right? From this perspective, I'm against it. I think it's wrong. But on the other hand, it means you can't miss. You buy gold at a suppressed price, it means you have to be able to make a profit in the foreseeable future. If we had a true free market price of gold right now, who knows what the price might be? But let's say it was $4,000 an ounce. Then you'd have to watch your step if you were buying gold. If we get to the true free market price, it could go up, it could go down. All right? You have to be careful. When you're at the manipulated price and artificially suppressed price, it means that the price must go up. Not necessarily this week, this month, next month. We don't know when it's going to go up, but the forces are there. It's going to push it up. It's one of these situations where you virtually can't miss, although you may have to wait. You know, who knows? months, quarters, until you see your profit, but your profit is guaranteed. So the manipulation on one hand takes the worry out of buying gold, although it means you may have to be patient. You're not going to necessarily see your profit in the short term, but you will see it in the longer term. So, I don't know.
Here's a question from this gentleman. It's on the same line. Why would the U.S. drive the price of gold down? Everywhere there is money printing, which will accelerate the depletion of gold. The little guy can't afford food on the table, so he doesn't care about the price. The big money players know the manipulation, so they're waiting for the sales prices. He saw this weekend that southern India and Bangkok have shortages. He guesses when supply is low and demand is high, prices decrease, a new economic law. Physical gold prices should be soaring. He doesn't care how much paper gold is produced. He's right.
Well, I agree. He's right. It's just one of those things where knowing it is one thing, and yet most people don't understand what he's talking about. And they don't understand the significance of manipulated price of gold. They don't understand that it guarantees that sooner or later the price has to go up dramatically. They just take it for granted that this makes sense. And, you know, when you accept the irrational, if you take it for granted that the earth is flat, you're not going to take a very long trip because you're going to be afraid to fall off the edge. I can't fly to China. I'll fall off the edge of the earth because it's flat. Look out the window. You can see it's flat. You know, when you accept these fundamental premises that, for example, the price of gold is not manipulated, if you accept the idea that the price of gold, the current price of gold, reflects the true free market price of physical gold, if you accept that, you are operating on a principle that is, you know, as dangerous and irrational as assuming the earth is flat. You can look out and see that it's flat, but it's not. It's really not. It's annoying, it's frustrating for people who understand this kind of information. And the man who wrote the email you just read from, he understands it. It's got to be frustrating for him to deal with a nation that's prepared and that's prepared to accept lies as if they were truth. But sooner or later, the truth must out. It's going to happen. The truth will come to the fore. They can't continue this. The debt is too great to be repaid. Obama's promises are too great to be accomplished. Sooner or later, the government has to agree, has to admit that it can't do what it's promised to do. And when it does that, that truth is going to emerge. And when it happens, everybody who sat back said, well, gold is just $1,500 and change. I guarantee you, they are going to wish, they are going to be the people who say, you know, I could have bought gold ones back at $1,500 and change or $1,600 and change. Huh? I could have bought it cheap. I don't know what I was thinking about. And the answer is, you weren't thinking. You were believing lies that were put out by the government. And they were, you know, you didn't use your head, you didn't think, and in the end, you'll suffer a loss for it. So, all I can say is the man who's expressed that email, who wrote that email, is expressing the same kind of frustration that affects a lot of people. And it's a dangerous frustration because you begin to lose confidence in your own ability to perceive what's happening. You sit back and say, well, I know what the truth is, but everybody else believes the lie. Everybody else is believing the lie. And so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should believe the lie too. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's not a lie. You lose confidence. You become willing to sell gold rather than buy it and retain it. And in the end, it will hurt people, in my opinion. It's going to do some very serious damage to people who lose their nerve, who refuse to see with their own eyes and instead believe what other people are doing. I'm not sure that I've answered his question, but I've expressed sympathy for his perspective. Why is the government doing this? Why are they suppressing the price of gold? The only reason, well, who can say? There's the actual answer. You'd have to ask the government. We can speculate on a number of reasons for that. But it is contrary to even the government's interest for this reason. Government has relied on inflation throughout my lifetime to reduce the size of the national debt. In my lifetime, the price of the value of the dollar has fallen from where by about 97% in my lifetime. That's a consequence of persistent inflation. It is government's policy. Gold is one of the foremost, if not the foremost, indicator of a dollar's value. Insofar as the government must have inflation to maintain the illusion that they're paying off the debt, they're paying it off in cheaper dollars. They must have inflation. They owe $1 trillion. They pay back $1 trillion, but the trillion are only worth $500 billion in purchasing power. They pay off nominally, but they don't pay off in terms of purchasing power. It helps the government to diminish the debt. Inflation is vital to the illusion that we can ever pay off the national debt. Government needs inflation. Government wants inflation unless they've decided they want to collapse the economy. If they want to collapse the economy, then deflation, where the dollar becomes more valuable, that makes a certain amount of sense. But if they want to sustain it, they have to inflate. My point then is government should be allowing the dollar to increase in price because it's evidence of inflation. When they hold the dollar down, as they've done for the last 18 months, it's evidence of deflation, which is contrary to the government's interest, contrary to sustaining the economy. It's either being done by stupidity or it's being done because they want to collapse the economy. God only knows what their reasons are. But it doesn't make sense, and in my perspective, is unlikely to continue indefinitely. They cannot embrace inflation without collapsing the economy. They have to let gold go. Don't have to let it skyrocket, but they do have to let it go 10-20% per year. When they start doing that again, who knows? But sooner or later, you know, reality has to intrude.
Here's a sad story, Al. There was an Italian family, I don't know if you've seen it, as triple suicide, and it was blamed on the government austerity measures that left them huge debt. The couple had actually hung themselves in their Italian seaside home, and on hearing the tragic news, the woman's elderly brother just threw himself into the sea. And so a family of three members mm-hmm. took their own lives yeah. with the state imposed austerity measures and the mounting debts, and they had they were just totally hopeless. He was 63, a builder. He was unable to draw a pension after the state had raised the retirement age by 5, and that was about, 16-18 months ago. And so they weren't able to get by on her pension. That was about almost 500 a month euros, and they had fallen behind on their rent and bills. So is this a story that perhaps could, it's a sad story. And is this the beginning? Something like the Arab Spring, but in Europe?
That's a pretty interesting question, but apparently not. It hasn't been enough to trigger resentments throughout Europe or Italy or wherever. We haven't heard reports that's happened where the Arab Spring people did react. One peddler set himself on fire in Tunisia, and next thing you know, four or five governments were overturned and 11 countries were threatened thereabouts. It hasn't started yet, but it's evidence of the problem, the real consequences that are going to affect people. What are we talking about? Italy. And Italy, how are they being squeezed and why are they being squeezed? In part because they've been stupid. They've allowed some idiotic government to promise them, make promises that can't possibly be kept. And we are absolutely emulating the example we see in Italy. We can expect that the day is coming when people in this country are going to start also committing suicide. Hopefully they won't do it before in the next 3 minutes because we've got some commercial announcements we want you to hear first. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. We have apparently survived. Turns out we did not. We did not all die. All right? The end has not come yet. We did get to hear the commercials, and now we even get to hear another 15 minutes or so of commentary by myself and Melody. Here's the first one for us.
I got a question. And okay. I want to remind folks, visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a newsletter. We got a brand new writer in there. In fact, I even did a little article myself, just a recap of the markets last week, what I thought was happening. So we're beginning to expand a little bit with the newsletter. And, of course, we combine forces with Wendy Wilson, so you get health and wealth. And Al brings more along the political line. So it's a great little newsletter. We'll do this. You sign up, doesn't cost you anything. Once a week it comes out for you. DGScoins.com is the website. And if you have any questions for today's program, you can call us at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. 8191 if you'd like to give us a call in the next few minutes. We got about 10 minutes of the program left for any questions in relationship to what we've been discussing today. And this is from Jerry from Washington State. Any comment on Illinois' voting to force gold and silver registration? This is from a, it's funny, we were just talking about this website before it's news. And this is by an Eddie Levin about the Illinois, I guess some legislation that was introduced back in 2012. I think we talked about this before. There's a similar bill that was trying to get passed out of Houston earlier this year. I don't think either one of them really have done anything. I don't think they have passed. And a lot of this legislation really is concentrated to the gypsies that go from town to town wanting to buy your gold and silver. And, you know, we set up a booth here for the weekend and at some hotel and bring us all your gold and silver and we'll pay you pennies on the dollar. And a lot of people get taken. I think a lot of it is geared towards that. What say you, Al?
I think people don't understand the concept of registration. And I'm not absolutely certain that I understand it. But what it appears is when we talk about registration, it appears to me, and this is complex stuff and I'm not going to do the whole thing, but it appears that when you register an automobile, when you register a firearm, when you register gold and silver, you are essentially donating it into a trust. And you retain the equitable right to continue to use that automobile or that firearm or that gold and silver. But you no longer have legal ownership by virtue of your act of registration. I can't tell you that that's God's truth, but I think it's roughly correct. And even if it's true, it means that if you register your gold, you are opening the door for people to take it from you legally. But even if that's not correct, when you register your gold, your firearm, or anything else, when you register, you make it easy for people to find. And I don't think there's too much doubt that our government intends to find whatever wealth it can. Our government, I've been telling you for 4 or 5 years on this program, that the government is broke. And it is desperate to find more money. Just as the government in Cyprus was broke, and in order to find more money, they decided to tax depositors in the bank and tax them big time, not a little bit. I mean, literally seize most, even all, of their assets. The day is coming when you're going to see similar behavior from this government, because the presumption is the government is too big to fail. We just got to give government more money. We talked about this early on the program. Government just has a right to take anything it wants. It doesn't matter. If you don't have any money, you're broke. Too bad for you. But we got to keep government. Government believes that, and unfortunately, a lot of American people go along with that idea. And all I'm saying is that's part of the reason why you need to be extremely cautious about registering anything that you think you would like to keep. All right? You want to register it? You're opening the door for confiscation and loss. So that would be my first comment on any proposed bill in Illinois or wherever. Register gold. Not a good idea.
Here's a question in from Ivan. Is the Arab Spring an invention of Mossad and the CIA in order to destabilize the Middle East countries? Who benefits?
I don't think it's an invention. I don't think they could have invented something where one man set himself on fire and the whole Middle East erupted. I don't believe it's an invention. It may be that once that energy was released and the world became aware of that pent-up energy in the Arab countries, it may be that the government instantly, I mean, their standard, the old line, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. They don't mean that it's merely a terrible thing to waste an American crisis. They mean it's a terrible thing to waste a Tunisian crisis or an Egyptian crisis or whatever. They would, once the ball got bouncing, they might try to take advantage of it and exploit it. I'd be amazed if they didn't, but I don't believe that they started it. In part because one of the consequences of the Arab Spring was the loss of Mubarak in Egypt. And Mubarak's cooperation with the United States and Israel was the foundation for Middle East stability. Once he was gone, everything goes up for grabs. And I don't think that's what they were looking for. That's what they've got, and they'll try to exploit it as best they can. They are famous for making lemonade out of lemons, but I don't believe they wanted that lemon to begin with. Melody.
Yes.
Yes. When I stop talking, that means, guess what?
I was. I received an email and with an alert. And folks, you're going to be hearing a lot of information about a lot of alerts about North Korea and how they're going to be increasing the alerts and codes and, you know, heck, we're going to be going to war in, 24 hours. And, not to take these, just keep it all in perspective. I mean, we talk, and Al, chime in at any time. I mean, we talk about preparing all the time, not just when something could happen, and not when it is stretched way beyond the means just so somebody has an agenda. And most of these alerts that come from the one that I'm looking at right now, you know, in the past 18 years, and I've been around, you know, this venue, I don't think they've ever been right, but yet they have put out many, many alerts. And alerts can be fine to some degree. However, they usually push it a little bit too far. So when you folks, if I'm getting these alerts, you know, just be careful when you see them and, you know, call us, email us, let us know, and we can, you know, perhaps give you a little bit better understanding.
My understanding of conspiracy theories was formed back about 1992, and I was involved with a legal reform group called Citizens for Legal Reform, and people were concerned and they were susceptible to conspiracy theories. And I went to a meeting one time where people were selling ammunition and rifles and talking about what was happening in government, and they were talking about rumors that had been circulating. They'd been coming from, I'd been getting these reports from around the country, that come October of 1992, there was going to be an October surprise and government was going to do something terrible in this country. Well, nothing ever happened. But I can tell you that receiving the rumors from Florida and from California and from Maine and Nebraska, when you see these stories coming at you from a number of different directions, you sit back and say, oh my gosh, this might be true. Turns out it was all nonsense. And over the years, I've kept a file on conspiracy theories. And the ones we hear about, the ones that you hear about in advance, I don't know if they're necessarily the same people, but I've never seen one in advance that turned out to be true. Not in specifics. We'll see some general things where we say something's going to happen 2 years, 3 years, 6 months from now, maybe. All right, in general, yes. Specifics, no. I've never seen it to take place. If there's a conspiracy theory and a real conspiracy theory, you and I won't hear about it until, not the details, until after it's been executed. If then.
And that's not the takeaway, folks. You do have to continue to get prepared and so forth. But please keep...
Yeah, well, I'm saying generalities, but in terms of specifics, you would. Nobody knows the date and the time. It's just like in the Bible, talking about end times. Nobody knows the date and the time. Same thing here.
And we have
someone tells you the date and time, odds are they're mistaken.
And we have a caller. Ivan, I believe it is.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Al and Melody, how are you doing?
Just fine, how are you?
Pretty good. I noticed your comments about the Middle East Spring, that it was started. I don't think that anything really is such a large item or large activity would occur without certain other parties agreeing to for the action to take place. Okay, and Mubarak was he was listened, but so does Morsi. Okay, Morsi didn't change much. The only thing what he's doing in Egypt now is creating, or someone else is creating a the battle between the Christians and the Muslims, the Coptic Christians, they are being killed and burned, the churches down. Now, like I say in my thing, Kebono, who benefits from all this anarchy and so on. Now, if Mubarak was so good and Morsi, I think, was put in, and he didn't break any treaty with Israel, as they were predicting and all that stuff. Nothing happened. They closed the door or the gateway, the boundary between Hamas and Egypt. So it's same status quo as it was before. I think I just put a new face, just like what happened in Russia or communism, Soviet Union. They just changed faces, but the same thing stayed the same. You know, the communism is still well and alive. So I think we see the same thing happening here. We see the in Libya what happened. Okay, they destroyed Libya. Again, Gaddafi was protecting the Christians. Syria, again, Bashar al-Assad was protecting the Christians and other religions, of course. And what you see now is killings of civilians, particularly of Christian descent, and so on. So this is why I think this was very well prepared and manipulated in order for this spring to take place.
Yvonne, but I'll tell you, it just strikes me that once... They could not have, I can't imagine that the system wanted a dozen countries to be moved into dangerous and unstable conditions. I can't believe that was their motive. Once you start these things, you need the tools. If you can start it, you in theory can stop it, slow it down. I didn't see that. It's not over. I mean, the Arab Spring has been suppressed in a way, but they still have much the same problems. We will see it again, although we don't know when. So in any case, who can say? I don't know. Yvonne, you don't know, not really. We both have opinions on it, but we'll talk about those opinions more maybe Wednesday when Melody and I return. I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. I want to thank all of you folks for listening. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. I'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.